Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Full Year Results 2020 conference call. I am Sandra, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Niccolò Bassi, Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome, everyone. And thanks for joining our Full Year 2020 Investor and Analyst conference call. Today, we will guide you through the numbers of this difficult year that all the market has experienced. I'm here today with Fabio Cannavale, LM Holding CEO, Andrea Bertoli, Deputy CEO of LM Group, and Sergio Signoretti, our CFO. We will conclude the presentation with a Q&A session, which will be open to all people connected. Before starting, as a general statement, I remind you to take a look at the disclaimer on page 2 on the importance of being cautious in the evaluation of forward-looking statements included in the document that has been uploaded in our corporate website. Now I give the stage to Fabio that will introduce the presentation. So please, Fabio, go ahead.
Good morning to everybody. 2020 has been a very interesting and challenging year for the company. We manage the COVID in the best ways as possible. As one of the things, as you see at page 3, we focus on our core activities, so the group of OTA, Meta and Media business, while we sold the majority of Italia Destination Italia Grand Tour in order to consolidate this activity. And we still keep the minority shareholding in Urbi and Istago, and we keep also Cocciolissimi in Last Minute Venture. But our focus is we want not to distract any equity and any cash from this activity. Then if you go to page 5, we can see how we manage this crisis. So the start of 2020 was very good. We did in the first 2 months the record booking, and of more than 500,000 booking. And we were on track to do another growing year versus the 29 that was already very good. Then COVID came, as everyone know, more than 1 year ago, and we have to manage around 700,000 cancellation, and we refund more than 300 million to our customers. So all the company was focused from, let's say, a booking machine to a cancellation machine, and we have to thank also all our team to do an amazing job on that. And on that, of course, we have to be flexible in our strategy, and we have been see a rise of the booking in the last year in the summer, when the COVID seemed to be, to at least the first wave was passed. And we demonstrate in this month that we were very quick in recovering, very quick to get a new booking. Then what we did, we also do a cash protection plan. So we try to save cost, of course, and to get also from the banks in our financial structure. And so the strong reduction plan was in the office, in the fixed cost, and also benefit from the subsidy from the government in all our county where we are present. Then in the last part of the year, we also managed, Marco Corodino communicated for personal reason want to leave the head of the operating part of the group, and Andrea Bertoli, that was formerly the manager of the OTA, so the largest part of our group, will lead the operating activity and was nominated Deputy CEO. The organization now is very well structured, and the team is very motivated to go forward and to have a quick recovery in the moment that the COVID will release and the government in Europe will give the possibility to travel. The volume of this year, they are going, let's say, in line with the going up and down of the government restriction. So February and January was very weak. The beginning of March was quite good because in Germany they opened traveling to the Balearic Island and south. And then now there is a little bit more consciousness. What we see that there is a big divide today between the U.S., where the vaccination is much forward, and Europe, where we are a little bit late. And so we think that as soon as in a couple of 2-3 months, we don't know exactly when, we will fill the gap to the U.S., and we will have the same vaccination situation, probably the market will start again. I give the word to Sergio, to give you the more highlight about our numbers.
Thank you very much, Fabio. Good morning, all. I'll take the lead from page 6 onwards. So if you see, I mean, page 6 represents really the roller coaster of 2020, you know, in terms of bookings, in terms of gross travel value, in terms of revenues. So we started very well. We started January and February, which we were +16% above the year before in terms of volumes. Remember, it was the record year in 2019. Then COVID came, so in 4 or 5 weeks, we went almost standstill. And this is represented in the Q2 figures, because at the end, we've stayed standstill up to mid-May. Then we recovered. We recovered quite steeply, which is something that we expect also for this year, when the recovery will come back. And we peaked in the recovery in Q3, and then the second pandemic wave came on, spread out through Europe. And the result at the end is that in terms of gross travel value, we ended at 1.1 approximately billion euro versus the 2.9 billion of the year before. So we are speaking about a 60, minus 60, 63% in terms of gross travel value, and minus 62% in terms of revenue. So 129 million versus 338. As you know, page 7, our cost structure is flexible. It's flexible and can be adapted to such a disaster which affected the industry. So 70% of our cost is variable, 30% is fixed. Here you can see the comparison between years of the two clusters of cost base. So the variable portion, which is the pink one, has been, decreasing proportionally to the trend of gross travel value, but we will see that we've been even more efficient in that in a minute. And as Fabio was saying, we have launched a massive cost reduction program in order to reduce our fixed cost base. So at the end of the year, we are talking about a minus 35% year on year in terms of fixed cost base. Entering a bit more in detail, page 8, on the various actions that we have done. So on page 8, you see the representation of the variable costs, which have been adapted to the circumstances. So the biggest chunk is represented by the performance marketing costs, which is represented up in the upper part of the slide, 48 million. Versus 123 the year before, so minus 60, in line with the trend of bookings, gross travel value, and revenues in terms of decreasing trend. But if you isolate the first quarter, which was affected by the very good performance in January and February, where we were overperforming 2019, the drop has been, as you see on the left, a minus 79%, considering the period from April to December, year on year. Same thing, similar thing for the other variable cost. The other variable cost includes customer care. Customer care has been flexibilized a lot in the past years in terms of mix of utilizing outsourcers. So it can be, of course, optimized based on the volumes, based on the utilizations more or less of the various outsourcers versus the insourced part. The other piece of the other variable cost is the acquiring, the processing, and the risk management fees. So, of course, this has been reduced to minus 57% in the year on year, and minus 75% if you isolate, again, the effect of January and February. You see the representation of the various figures per quarter in the right part of the slides. Then on top, as I was saying before, page 9, we have implemented a huge cost reduction program. This is something that, if you remember, we already commented 1 year ago when we were meeting approximately in this time of the year, and COVID was there since a couple of weeks. Now it's 13 months that we are dealing with that. So we were targeting 30 million euro cost reduction program. On our fixed cost base, we have done 36, so a plus 20% versus what we are targeting. Of course, what we have done here is accessing to all the measures granted by the various governments in the various core markets where we operate due to the furlough scheme or working hour reduction schemes for more than 20 million euro in order to relieve our P&L. Then, of course, we have intervened on the organization. We have frozen the hirings. We have cut across the board, and we will enter into that, the various operating expenses from IT, facilities costs, overhead, travel and events for approximately 10 million euro. And of course, we have stopped all our advertising and marketing non-performance investments for an amount of 4 million. If we enter a bit more in detail on that, and I'm on page 10, page 10 represents basically the biggest chunk of where the 36 million of cost reduction program comes from. So starting from the pink box, that is the HR piece, the HR cost, which has been reduced 25 million, 26 actually million year on year. Out of these 25, the 20 million is the impact, as I was saying, of the government subsidies. The rest is actions on the organizations and also elimination of the variable compensation of the entire company for the year 2020. The blue part represents what we have done on the IT machine from 15 million to 11. So 4 million savings. Here we have renegotiated contracts across the board. We have optimized our cost structure. We have moved to cloud the server farm. We have virtualized basically a number of services, achieving a minus 26% cost in 2020 versus 2019. And then the lighter blue, the turquoise, which is the overhead part. So overhead is actually the SG&A, so includes consultancies, but more importantly includes the facilities costs. So here what we've done is actually leverage on the smart working forced from the pandemic in order to adopt what we call a hybrid model work that we are implementing. We have reduced drastically the number of square meters that we have, and we have shut down a few offices in some markets. We have reduced our presence in Madrid in terms of building. We have shut down Berlin, shut down Barcelona, shut down Milan. We have optimized our cost structure in terms of that. And this is generating a saving approximately of 5 million on top, of course, of elimination of consultancy. So a minus 35% year on year. This is part of the actions that we have done. More importantly, maybe even more importantly, page 11 is the running rate of the fixed cost base, because of course these have been actions implemented in 2020 that will spread over the annualized effect in 2021 and forward. So this is interventions that, everything else being equal, will generate an increase in our EBITDA margin going forward at when we get back to the same level of business and revenues pre-COVID. So if you look at the comparison between Q1 and Q4, 2020, we are talking about a minus 19% of cost base on our overall fixed cost base, so including HR, because the HR piece here is gross of the government subsidies. So it doesn't include the subsidies that we receive for the various furlough schemes. And this is the baseline on which, of course, 2021 will be calculated, and we show that in page 12. So in 2021, the gray part, we expect, and the range is due to the level of business recovery. So it's, a fork that actually we have, because of course we can be even more aggressive in the cost-cutting exercise depending on the size and the velocity, the magnitude of the business recovery. So we will get in 2021 to be approximately 20% less than what we were pre-COVID in terms of fixed cost structure, without, again, considering any mechanism of the furlough scheme and working hour reduction. We're talking about something which is in the region of 10 million 10 to 15 million less, sorry, 10 million less of what was in 2020. So we could get to 52 million euro. So this is, I think, relevant in terms of messages. And in the following slide, page 13, you find the detail for what is the running costs. So the combination of the overhead and IT costs, which we aim to be in the range of 16 to 18 million euro in 2021, which again is over minus 40% versus what was the pre-COVID situation, and even less, as you see, that what we achieved in 2020. So this is, of course, generated by the annualized effect, as I was saying before, of all the actions, but even by further actions that we are putting in place in order to optimize and be more and more efficient in order to compensate and relieve our P&L. Going to page 14. Page 14 represents the roller coaster of 2020 in terms of quarterly EBITDA. So we started very well in Q1. Out of the 9 million, 12 was the combination of January and February, so plus 13% versus 2019. Then, of course, COVID came. We lost 3 million euro in March. We lost then in Q2 approximately 5 million. Considering the impact of April at standstill, considering the impact of mid-May at standstill, and then luckily we had the recovery from mid-May onwards. In Q3, when the recovery came back, the partial recovery, of course, we reached the 3 million euro business EBITDA, and then the second pandemic wave came, and we had the 5 million euro impact negative EBITDA in the fourth quarter. As a result, we had a business EBITDA slightly above break-even at 2 million euro, of course, versus the 71 that you will remember was the record of all-time record of 2019. If you go forward, page 15 shows the impact of what is not included into the business EBITDA, but of course is included in our full bottom line results, which is the cancellation impact. So the cancellations in terms of magnitude has been an enormous phenomenon in the industry. So we are talking about just for us, approximately 800,000 cancellations, so 765,000 over the year, of which the biggest chunk is related to flights, so to the flight business. Remember, here we are agent, so we act on behalf of the airline. So 550,000 cancellations come from here. 130,000 come from the dynamic package business, where we are organizer and principals. So if you look at the right, in terms of trend, the cancellation phenomenon, of course, have peaked from March to May, but then has remained substantially high up to, I would say, October. Now, in terms of course of trend, is decreasing, and also in terms of, I would say, total magnitude of the cancellation. So the phenomenon is still there, but is getting back to a percentage level, which is, I would say, less critical than before. The impact of all the cancellations effect is huge. So it's more than 30 million, 31 million euro, which have been recorded, accounted in our profit and loss, and which is represented, going to page 16, in the extraordinary item box. So it's half of the loss that we have in 2020. So we ended 2020 with 62 million euro net loss, out of which 31 is the impact of cancellation. The arrows, I mean, just commenting a couple of more boxes in the usual cascade. As you see, corporate costs have been reduced significantly versus the year before. So in the bottom line of the chart, you see the comparison versus 2019. The EBITDA we already commented. So corporate costs have been reduced 35%. Due to your various cost reduction actions. The impact of Destination Italia is the biggest chunk of the venture initiative loss that we had in 2020. As Fabio was saying before, it's now entirely deconsolidated. We sold the majority, so it's not anymore going to be reflected in terms of hit on our P&L. One comment on the bad debt. We have accounted for a provision of approximately 8.5 million euro, which is related to mostly the dynamic packages business, where we refund the customer regardless of the fact that the supplier have refunded us. So here there are a number of airlines, as you know, that are in difficulty, and so we have accounted for a bad debt provision regarding to that. The effect, just in terms of give you the last comment, of sale of the majority of Destination Italia in terms of write-off of the related assets has been accounted for, of course, and it impacts the P&L for approximately 3 million. So at the end, we are talking about a minus 62. The minus 62 is going to be entirely covered utilizing the return earnings and the net worth reserves that the company has accumulated over the past years. So there is no issue at all in terms of net worth coverage. Of course, going to page 17, 2020 is not a year about profitability, as you saw. Has been a year about resilience. Has been a year about securing the company, securing the cash, putting in place all the cost and the cash protection actions in order to protect ourselves. We've done a massive effort, so a cash protection program for 260 million euro. We have access to all the unused credit lines that we were already having for 42 million. We have negotiated new financings and access government-backed financings, which were accessible in the various markets, for 50 million. We have launched, probably among the first in the market, in Europe at least, a massive voucher campaign in order to dilute the refunds effort and the refunds process to our clients for an amount of 135 million euro vouchers. Out of these, 15 million has been already utilized. And of course, this is a massive relief because customers will use this voucher when the business recovery comes back. And then in the, let me say, more critical period, which was when COVID came into place. So from March to May, we have also renegotiated our payment terms to vendors for approximately 30 million. As a result, if you go to page 18, our cash end of period have been 138 million. So extremely, I would say, in terms of relief, increased versus the level of the end of year 2019. Here is the usual representation in terms of cash flow. So we have a negative, of course, we have the impact of the negative IFRS EBITDA cancellations included for 51 million. We have a positive net working capital, which includes the liabilities towards clients for the vouchers issued for 30 million. Of course, we need to take into account that at the end of year, we had 92 million euro loans from banks due to all the actions put in place in order to secure the company. So the end of year net financial position is 33.5 million. With that, that represents the overall figures, and I will hand it over to Andrea in order to describe what we expect next.
Thank you. Thank you, Sergio. I think Sergio gave you a very good picture of the year we went through. It's been really, really tough, and the company had to focus really on cash protection and cost reduction. But we really believe that now it's a time to look forward and leave all this behind. We put here a famous sentence from Barry Diller. Barry Diller is the majority owner of Expedia and executive chairman. He, not everybody knows, but he acquired Expedia after the September 11 disaster in New York. So, and when he commented that that decision was that if there is life, there is trouble. So we all believe that the pandemic will have a huge impact on the society and has the huge impact on the economy throughout the world. But we are really convinced that as soon as the condition will allow people to travel, they will go back to travel. In Europe, as Fabio already anticipated, we are facing some challenges with the vaccination rollout, as you probably know. But what we can say is that there are still uncertainty about the timing when finally Europe will be able to manage the vaccination program in an efficient way. But all the signals we are receiving from market that in countries where vaccination is ahead are very, very positive and give us the comfort that the market will come back and will come back very, very strong. Here is the general consensus about total travel market recovery. As you know, most of the analysts believe that it will take a few years to recover. Most of the analysts believe that it will take until 2023 for the full recovery. But this, you have to keep in mind that our analysis on the total travel market that includes business travel, which is highly impacted and will probably be structurally impacted. And it includes the offline travel market. Now, lastminute.com group is, as you know, is an online travel agency. So we don't operate offline. And is mainly focused on leisure travel. We don't have a business travel activity. So out of this total market, we operate just in two segments, the online and leisure. And if we look at the leisure travel, we see that whenever there was any indication from government that travel will be allowed again, there is a very, very, very strong latent demand. These are a few headlines coming from the UK press when Boris Johnson went on TV and gave a clear timeline about reopening. All the players in the industry, from airlines to tour operators, they saw a huge surge in reservation. So based on this element, what we believe is that the travel industry, the travel market will recover, and the recovery will be driven by leisure travel, not the business travel. And very important for the future of our group and the future result of our group, the online share growth will accelerate. The pandemic has had a huge impact on digitalization of the whole society, especially in Southern Europe, where online share was still below what we see in the US or what we see in Northern Europe. But the pandemic forced all the population to get used to shop online, to get used to attend the school remotely. Even the public administration had to provide service online because it was not possible during lockdown to go to the different offices and so on. So we really believe that in this context, so thanks to the acceleration of the online share and leisure travel being the first segment to recover, we believe that for online travel agency like lastminute.com, the level of 2019 will be reached in 2022, so or sooner than the rest of the market. In this context, we also believe that we are very, very well positioned to win the recovery. We have a very solid and distinctive technological platform, as you probably are aware. We developed in the last 5 years a leading edge technology for dynamic packaging, this will be very, very important to address the package business, where traditional tour operators that are very asset heavy and that are very rigid in their supply will have a very difficult time in riding the recovery phases. We have a solid financial structure. As Sergio illustrated before, we ended the year with 130 million. This is very important because when a recovery will come, we will have all the financial resources to push marketing and take the lead in the recovery phase. Thanks to the working hour reduction schemes and furlough schemes that we could leverage across all the major markets in Europe, we have been also able to secure and keep our teams. We did some efficiency, of course, as everybody, but we are confident that the team that is still working with us will be really an asset for the future going forward. Then, 2 points that sometimes are a liability. The fact that we are so diversified across different business models, and the fact that we are diversified across geographical countries in Europe, in this moment of time, I think it's a great advantage for the group. As you know, not every market will recover at the same speed. It will depend on the vaccination rollout. It will depend on the epidemic data in each country, but we are present in all the five major European market with a very strong position and very strong portfolio of digital brands. So this will give us the opportunity to capture the recovery as soon as any of the European country will start traveling again. Last is about the diversified business model. As you know, we operate a group of three different business units. We have an OTA, we have a meta search business, and we have a media business. As you saw in the slides from Sergio, the media business has been the most impacted one in the year because every company in the sector cut all the marketing investment. But we are convinced that having this diversified business model will give us the opportunity again to ride the recovery in a very efficient way, being able to capture opportunity that will come firstly on the meta search business, then on the OTA business, and then finally on the media business. So I think we have a very strong platform for growth, and we see the market recovery coming for this summer. This is all. So I will leave the word to Nicolò so that he can manage the question and answer session.
Please, thanks. Time for Q&A. I'll leave the word to the operator in order to collect the questions, and we will go through that.
The first question comes from Gianmarco Bonacina from Equita. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I understand that it's impossible to provide guidance at this time, but maybe it would be helpful to discuss if it's reasonable on the base that in 2021 revenues will be 40% lower than in 2019. So assuming a level of 200 million in revenues in this scenario, assuming the evolution of the cost base you indicated for fixed cost, and assuming that variable cost will be moving in line with revenues, that the group can achieve business EBITDA in the region of 20-25 million and basically around the break even for a net profit. The second question is on the net cash position. Again, if it's reasonable to assume that in 2021 this figure will remain more or less stable, assuming that the company will have to face cash outflow for the vouchers, at the same time inflows for the new business, or maybe if you expect a different trend, an increase or a decrease for your net cash position this year. The last point, you mentioned that you expect the OTA market to recover 2019 volume in 2022. I was wondering if you expect also for the overall group, so including media and Meta, not just OTA, that in 2022 you will be able to recover 2019 sales figure, and also more importantly your margins, so your EBITDA and net profit level. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Gianmarco. Pleased to hear back from you. I'll try to answer to this question. So, of course, you know, today it's not so easy, no, to make projections about, I mean, nobody knows actually. So the real uncertainty is about, as we said before, no, the magnitude, the extent, the speed of the recovery. So there is no uncertainty at all about the fact that the market will recover. No, on this we can be certain. The uncertainty is how fast, no, it will recover. Assuming, because it will depend, no, it will depend on the velocity of the vaccination campaigns more than anything else. So we see that in the UK there are already a significant increase in the number of searches. There is an increase in the number of bookings from June onwards, because, you know, UK as the first country, first core market where we operate, has already set a sort of roadmap in terms of exit from the lockdown. So it's a bit our barometer in terms of looking at what is going to happen next. So if we consider what basically most of the analysts say, you know, in terms of the various vaccination plans, in terms of reach the herd immunity, of course, the assumptions that you were making can be reasonable. So assuming can be reasonable in terms of overall figures, no? So of course, the assumption of the minus 40% will be influenced on the vaccination rollout campaign in the five major markets where we operate. But with that assumption, I think what you were mentioning is reasonable. The second question in terms of net cash position. No, net cash position will decrease this year because the vouchers utilization will follow the recovery, will substantially compensate the new cash generated by the recovery of the business. So it will go substantially at break-even. But on top of that, we need to take into account that we're going to repay some of the financings and we are going to finish the long tail of the refunds from the cancellation. So it's going to slightly decrease versus what we were we had at the end of 2020. Then yes, we absolutely aim to get back to the pre-COVID EBITDA in 2022. I mean, we've done also a number of cost cutting actions that we described I think quite deeply before, which should help us in terms of having a higher EBITDA margin and higher efficiency even with a lower level of overall business in order to achieve to go back to where we were pre-COVID. I don't know, Andrea, if you want to add anything on this.
No, I think it was very clear. The big question is not the recovery, is when will it be, in May, in June, April? It's really impossible to see when will it start, but we saw last year that the trajectory when it starts is very, very steep. And I think for 2021 will be another difficult year for the first half of the year, for sure. But regarding 2022, as Sergio said, I believe that also top line will be in line with the 2019 data, but even with the lower top line in 2022, EBITDA level will be in line as we are improving EBITDA margin thanks to the various cost-cutting program that we run that will spill over benefit in 2021, but also in 2022.
Is there any other question?
The next question comes from Pacchianini Alessandro from Banca IFIGEST. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning to everybody. I'd like very much to know you, what do you think about M&A business at the moment. So you have a very nice cash position, if you, even if it's going to decrease slightly, as you said, in 21. But I think that you have a competitive advantage to the others, to your peers. So I'd like to know if you think to make some acquisition, or if you think that you can become, as in the past, a possible acquired company.
I can give my view, and then I ask Fabio to elaborate. Yes, I believe that, as in any crisis, there will be a consolidation in the industry, and I think we have a very good base to be an active player in the consolidation game. As of today, it's difficult to give a clear perspective, because everybody is today very focused in managing the last part of the crisis and getting ready to ride the recovery at best. But I'm sure that there will be opportunities, and that we have a balance sheet that can allow us to be active in this situation. But Fabio, please.
Yes, I think we have still, as you said, a strong position with a neutral, so a positive net financial position. We have been approaching this last year from many potential financial sponsors, and we know that there is appetite in the market to do something. And so we are continuously talking with everyone at a different level. So there is a target that, of course, with this consolidation after this crisis, there are opportunities. Currently, we are really evaluating a couple of things about that, that people, that people, companies that have some liquidity problem. And on the other end, there is a lot of potential financial partners that are ready to support us. So we are working on that. This is my main activity, together with our team of corporate development that report directly to me. What I can say more is also that, you, as you probably know, also our financial position in the moment we recover, so if we do a simulation that we go back to 3 billion gross travel value in whatever it is this year or next year, the following year, we will produce a lot of cash, because this company is a cash machine, and also we have negative working capital, so in the moment we create gross volume, we create a lot of cash, so we have potential resources also for with our own resources to do some acquisition. So yes, we are very active on that. We believe that there will be a consolidation, the same that we said in the last years, in our sector, and we want to be an active player in this consolidation in the travel sector. Our aim is to build one of the leading digital travel company in Europe with a new European heart and a European management.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions.
Okay, so if there are no more questions, I will conclude here the call. Thank you very much for everyone. I think it's been a very clear call in which we have highlighted all our key strengths for the future, after having described what we have built during 2020 to pose the basis for this recovery. So thank you very much, everyone. Thanks, Andrea, Fabio, and Sergio for the support. And let's meet for the first quarter release at the end of May in order to understand what is the current trading for the first quarter. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you all. Bye. Bye. Bye.